lift our hands? Can we lift our hands to the Lord this morning? You are the Most High. We thank you that nothing is higher than you. So whatever troubles, whatever issues, whatever opportunity, you are higher than that. We acknowledge you this morning. We give you glory and honor and praise. Can we lift our hands above our head and clap them for the Lord Jesus? Come on. Hallelujah. You are the Most High. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Praise God. Before you sit down, look at your left, look at your right. You know, it's my tradition now. I say, welcome to church. Pastor, why do I have to greet those who are around me? Because you are not the only one in church. We acknowledge our presence. Let's start with some, what some people call praise report. We got some, my wife was sending me some testimony. Was it yesterday? Day before yesterday. This month, we've been having one hour of praise. 1 hour praise. We just come here at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. And it's been getting better and better. And we are finishing this coming Friday, right? Yeah, we're finishing then. And this coming Friday, we're going to have that plus communion to round it up. And the reason why is because we never seen Jesus doing praise or worship in the Bible until communion night. So we are going to just join Jesus in praising Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. But I got some testimony my wife sent to me that was just praising God. And the purpose, the reason why we are praising God is Psalm 67 verse 5. Give us on the screen. Psalm 67 verse 5 and verse 6. It says, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Give them permission to praise me. What will happen? Then the earth shall yield and increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. So what we did was to take these two verses and put them into practice. And then see God. Like somebody said, just obey God and let him handle all the consequences. So my wife sent me this testimony. Was it yesterday? I'll check it on my... Yeah. Because this one, let me share the first one with you that was sent to me. I told people that are online, we are worshiping, we are praising God all over the world. There were this couple who just traveled, and then my wife just sent me this one. We've been a bit disturbed about accommodation recently. They went, husband and wife, they went together. We just paid to extend our stay in the present Airbnb we are staying in. So, you know, they got in there, they've not got the accommodation and that. You're using Airbnb. You want to call it Airbnb? You know it? It's like what you call F&B, food and breakfast. Stay there. We trekked to several places to check accommodation, and none was forthcoming. We viewed one yesterday after many calls to the property manager. We put in the application for it today, and we are trusting God for the best. Now listen to this. Normally, their response time is between 2 to 3 days. Listen, but we got our response within 6 hours of our application. Our application was approved. This was after we trusted God during the pre-service this evening. Praise God. My wife is more than glad right now. So any land will yield its increase. Praise God, somebody. You know, we spent enormous amount of money to put all this online up. Not because we just like to do this, because people around the world, all kinds of places, listening. And they got the blessing. So, that was the second one. Let me read this first one to you. This one, it's amazing when I read this testimony. And listen to this one. This couple wanted to travel too. They are around here. They come to church from Rwanda. I don't know if you know Rwanda. You don't run there. Okay, you go for excursion there. You go for it's far. You know, that's what I mean by that. It's very far. This is the testimony. When the September 1 hour praise and worship was declared by the Reverend, we received it in my family as the key to our prayer request. We had applied for Canada visa late in the month of August. We decided to be a part of the worship experience, and we even took a step further. We continued with the 1 hour praise and worship in our home almost every day. We played the mixer of the latest worship experience. So you just gather together around it almost every day. We also prayed a prayer of agreement as a family. In exactly 1 week after our biometrics and 3 weeks overall after the application, we received the pleasant news of the approval despite multiple lapses in our application. 3 weeks after. Now, this is what really I read that anybody can gather. Then it says, another interesting part of it is about the agent who knew about the application. She was expecting the bad news from us because we acted against her advice on several occasions. She was so astonished that she was asking for tips from us. They had a problem in filling the forms. He said, you won't make it. 3 weeks after they called them, everybody was given visa. So the agent that's supposed to be your agent asking tips from you. And she said she had never seen or heard about that kind of ease since she began to practice. Hallelujah. Now somebody said, it's just coincident. I like you for your scientific proof. You see that word coincident means something go together. So pray 1 hour praise, go together, and we got that. I want more of that coincidence. How about you? Hallelujah. In my language, we call it God incidents. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Let's just do this. We're going to take question and answer today. We're going to take question and answer. I'd like you to ask me any question. Ask me any question. Even who born God? You ask me. You ask me anything. You know my answer to that one. I'll tell you. So the Lord has been telling me that we should be doing something in the service. Our people that if you are sick, that we should pray. So I took the bottle of oil out from where we usually hide it there. You know, one of the reasons why I don't like bottle of oil in the church is because Nigeria has become anointing oil man too kind of a thing. It has become Nigerians have a way of turning everything to ritual. Father Yoloro, you know. So I don't like. So, but I just said as you do that, that anyone who is sick should just come up and then we pray. And some days ago, God was telling me, look, do it in the service. You do prayer of agreement now. Do it in the service. So I said, okay, I'll try because it's taking time. We do prayer of agreement, we pray, kind of thing. Let's go to James chapter 5, verse 13. God, through James, asked them 3 questions. God asked through James. He asked 3 questions from the church. The first question is, any among you suffering, let him pray. And we do that, don't we? Prayer of agreement. You are going through anything? Prayer of agreement. We had a beautiful testimony of a young lady who agreed with the mother over a particular allowance that was just amazing in the first service. Then, second question. Is anyone happy? Cheerful? Let them sing psalms. We just finished singing now with Sister Rachel. You know, I was watching her online in my office. And I was remembering Rachel. Where's Rachel? Where is she? She has gone to relax outside. Oh, among the babies. You know, I know Rachel almost all her life. She's been my secretary years ago. When she was just a young lady before my super deacon messed up herself and make her bigger with children. Hello? Maybe I'll go and find that picture. She was in really preparing for those days. You know, that's Rachel. You know. So just watching over the years, you learn to see people. Great. She sings psalms. We just rejoice together. Then the third question, next verse. Is anyone among you sick? That's the question. Anyone in trouble? Anyone happy? Anyone sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. Next verse. And the prayer of faith, the elders will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. So among all that you do about your sickness and everything kind of issue, yeah, I know you take your drugs sometimes. I know you do all that kind of things. But God said, put this along with it. Is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. So right now I'm going to ask that question. Is anyone sick among us? So he said, let them come, call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. So we do that first. After that, we do some reading. Praise God. I want to obey God. You know. Let me tell you my problem. You know, particularly in this area, when I don't obey God, I fall sick myself. That's interesting, right? You know, sometimes God says, do something about healing. I don't do it. Over the years, been struggle for me. So one of the warnings for me is I get sick. So the Lord said, you don't want to give healing. Okay, all right. So I just gather myself up, do something about it. Now, I was not sick about 2 or 3 days ago, so I just obeyed it quickly, so take care of it. So before I get sick again, Pastor, you get sick? Hallelujah. So let's close our eyes and thank God for healing. Whatever you are doing in your life, whatever if you have any physical situation, elders are here, the prophets are here. We're going to pray over you. We're going to anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the prayer of faith, in agreement, in confidence in God, will make you will recover. The Lord will raise you up. And if you have sinned to cause the sickness, you'll be forgiven. So anyone in our midst that you're feeling sick and you want to come forward right now, you want to call upon the elders, can you just stand upon your feet wherever you are? We're waiting for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. God wants you well. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Thank you. Now, as you come forward, tell yourself that, Lord, I'm coming to receive my healing. You will raise me out of this sickness. You will raise me out of this sickness. You will raise me out of this sickness. You raise me out of this sickness. Prof, please come. Let's just pray. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Oh, glory to God. We are going to pray over you first, and then they're going to come and anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. And just welcome your healing. Now, before I pray, say this to yourself. As the elders pray over me, tell yourself that. As the elders pray over me and anoint me with oil, the Lord will raise me out of this sickness because I believe his word in Jesus' name. Okay, let's pray. Then we pray. We anoint you with oil. Heavenly Father, can we join our hands together? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, as elders over this assembly, we come before you for your people. We beseech you, Father, for health and healing for them. We ask for amendments in their bodies, remedies and healing to take place in their bodies in the name of Jesus. And Father, as we anoint them with oil, we ask for healing to take place in their several lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you help quickly? They'll get it for you. All right. So, just come to you, anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. When they anoint you with oil, thank God, lift up your hands and thank him for recovery, full recovery in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Rest of us, let's give thanks to the Lord. Let's thank him for healing. You are not at the front. Let's thank him for healing for ourselves and for those who are at the front. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, blessed. Dr. Nele, are you around? Come and help us because we have some people over here. Come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus, we worship you. Oh, hallelujah. Don't look around. Take this moment to just bow your head and give thanks to the Lord for your own health as we minister to others. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. You can just go to your seat and give thanks to the Lord. They've anointed you with oil. The prayer of faith. So with confidence in God, knowing fully where you will recover, let's give thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let the sick say, I'm well. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I'm rich. Because of what the Lord has done. So we give thanks. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. All right. We're almost through. Just bear with us. Glory to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Bola, are you done? Come and get ready. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Can we all lift up our hands and say, Lord, you are my healer. Thank you for keeping me going day by day, week by week, month by month. I receive life, abundant life for my body, for my soul, for my spirit, and for my family. In Jesus' name, amen. Ready? We have a book, Daily Insight with Zig Ziglar. Zig Ziglar had gone to be with the Lord. If you don't know, and it was a very powerful, motivational Christian speaker. And he wrote this material to just keep inspiring us. And I'd like you to just take a cue, learn from that. I have many books I read. I have some daily book I read. I have different ones. I think I've got about 30 of them, but I usually read about 4 or 5 every day, trying to manage to do that. Just to inspire me and encourage me. So this is one of them. All right, let's see. What's today's topic? Second and third chances. Beautiful. Let's go.
Thank you, sir. Good morning, church. Second and third chances. You've been dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. He has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 14. A few years ago, Chuck Swindoll asked his sister, "What's your favorite emotion?" After a minute of reflection, she replied, "Relief." I agree. If we are honest with ourselves, we have to admit that we have some rotten thoughts, desires, and actions. Sure, we put on a mask of competence and respectability, but underneath we hide some ugly traits. We often sin against God and against people at home and at work, and we feel terrible about it. But we don't have to live under the guilt that comes as a result of our sins. The central paramount truth of the Christian faith is that God, in his amazing grace, forgives us. He doesn't excuse our sin by saying, "Well, it's not that bad," or "It doesn't really matter." No, he calls it sin, and he has paid a high price to forgive us. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul uses the metaphor of a Roman debtor's prison. When a person couldn't repay a debt, he was thrown into a cell, and a parchment scroll of all his debts were nailed to the cell door until the debts were paid off. Jesus saw us in the prison of our guilt, and he took the list of all of our sinful debts and nailed them to the cross. where he paid for them in full. Freedom is never free. I wish we see that together. Freedom is never free. Christ's grace is free to us, but it cost him his life. His sacrifice shows us how much he loves us, and we are wise to gratefully accept his wonderful forgiveness. When we do, we are set free to experience relief, and we are motivated to honor the one who freed us. Thank you.
Okay, Prof, please come. This is very interesting. I woke up this morning, stumbling out of bed around past 6, and I wanted to just freshen up. And a thought came to me of something I did very bad around 1979, 80 beginning, I'm not very sure. I was in my uncle's house, and I did something very bad, and I didn't tell anybody I did it. We wonder how that came to my mind. Our mind has all these thinking, like I said, thinking thoughts. And it dawned on me that I did that. It was, I can't tell you. None of your business. And, you know, I just wish that my uncle, oh God. And my mind said, see, you messed up. Then I remember, Jesus paid for my sin. Jesus paid for my sins. Then that man said to me that you didn't even let them know that you did that kind of mess. I said, but they had forgiven me and it's behind me. If I call him and I say, Uncle, I did this, it'd be ridiculous. Can't even remember. But then the Lord said to me something I really love. He said, but you have been so kind to him all these years too. Hallelujah. Is that all right? So, apples to reverend too. Not only just on my job.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm sure all of us also remember something stupid we did. And God was so merciful that we were never caught. Let's just bow our heads and just bless the Lord for the forgiveness that has attended that. We are not held accountable to that because Jesus paid. Our Father, we give you praise. We acknowledge that even now. We thank you because that is not standing against us. We give you glory. Thank you for reminding us, even now, that that has been mopped up and it does not exist before you. We give you all the praise. And we enjoy the liberty that that has granted us through Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We want to do prayer of agreement and we'll go to our reference scripture, Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. It says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Verse 20, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Praise the Lord. You know, when we read the scripture and praise the Lord, it's a form of thanksgiving for the gift of the life that is in the scriptures. The scriptures is an access to God. It's a doorway to the provisions of God. So when we read the Bible and we say praise the Lord, like saying, Lord, thank you for this truth. Praise the Lord. This scripture simply is saying that if there's anything both of us will agree about here, that it will be done for us in heaven by our Father who is there. Let me just say this. Please, we do prayer of agreement routinely in church. Permit me to bring this in. And you know, when we ask you to come to agree with somebody, you do not know who will come to you to agree with you. And I suspect that there are times that these things are so private to you that you want to, you really, if you had a choice as to who you want to agree with you because of the privacy of the issue, you would have preferred that. And maybe you had actually held back. You didn't come up because You don't know who will come to you. And you don't want to just tell anybody. Am I talking about somebody? If you're in that category, you don't have to come up. Just wait. After service, go to whoever your heart wants to agree with. Hallelujah. Because it says, if two of you agree about anything they ask, meaning that the person agreeing with you must have an understanding of what he's agreeing with you. You know, sometimes you'll be constrained. You don't want to say the details because you don't want him to know. Rather than come and waste resources, stay back. Then look for somebody that you can be free with to agree with you. Hallelujah. But let me also encourage. There is nothing really strange under the sun. In fact, you can dare the devil sometimes and tell him, I'm going there to do it. If you are led to do it that way. I'm just presenting a balance to that. So that you don't also get constrained by your perception of the issue. The issue has been taken care of because there's a provision in Christ Jesus for it. Hallelujah. And now back to the scripture. He says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Let me emphasize this again and again. This will be done for us by our Father who is in heaven. Our Father who is in heaven is God, the maker of the heaven and the earth, who the Bible has described as he that gives life to the dead and calls what be not as though they are. So there is nothing impossible with God. And he extended that to us and said, for he that believes, nothing shall be impossible. So the awesome nature of God as God will be deployed to you and I in the form of the Father. So please, accept this as true, because the Father in heaven is God who is able to do everything. Don't let the burden of the issue make you wonder whether he will do it. He has capacity to do everything. Hallelujah. Now, I will ask us, if there's anything here for which you want us to agree and you want to step forward, I will ask you to please take a step of faith. And for the rest of us, let's bow our heads and start to worship God in the Holy Spirit. This time around, just extending our faith to our brothers that are coming out to stand. Please, if you want us to agree with you, I will implore you to please come forward. And as you come forward, please, the rest of us, let's pray in the Holy Spirit. Please focus on yourself. Don't look at the people coming up here, please. Be serious with yourself. Pray in the Holy Spirit, please. If you are standing in front here, please open your eyes and look at me. Please listen. It says, verse 18, says, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. The issue for which you are coming here to ask us to agree with you, you know it. Please check. Do you feel there's likely to be a hindrance to that? Do you think there's anything for which you can do verse 18? Is anything holding it back? Have you noticed anything that tends to manifest the influence of the evil one on the issue? I want you to take authority over it now. If it's a letter you are expecting or a result you are expecting, remove the hand of the devil from it. Are you expecting to get something? Then tell the devil to stay out of it. Take your place. Take authority over the devil concerning that issue. Tell him to stay out of this issue. Thank you, our Father. In the name of Jesus. And please, this way, look this way. The rest of us, please, let's be praying in tongues. I'm talking to the people standing here. I'm sorry. He says, whatever you set loose on earth. Now, what you want to agree with, want us to agree with you about, start laying hold of it. Lay hold of it now. Set it loose. Allow it. Welcome it into your life. Welcome it into your life. Receive it by faith. Then the partner will come and agree with you. Receive it, lay hold of it by reason of verse 18 that has said, whatever you set loose will be set loose in heaven. Is it the letter? Call the letter forth. Is it the mercy of God? Is it the favor? Is it the understanding? Lay hold of it. Is it the money? Receive it. Possess it in the name of Jesus. And partners, please, let's come and agree with them. Partners, please. Partners, please, let's come forward. Partners, please. Partners, please, let's come. Let's ask them what it is and then agree with them. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands to the Lord and thank Him this morning. Let's appreciate God for His concern and His care over our lives. Wherever you are, whatever your situation, whatever life, thank Him that He has not forgotten you. He said, a woman with a suckling child can forget her, but I've written your name on my palm. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And now, I hope many of you are still remembering praying for Prof. Brother Kenny. How many of you still remember praying for him? You forgot. There's nothing as easy as a leader in Nigeria. It's difficult. Prof, please come. Let's just pray for you. I love to do that. Bible says, first of all, pray for those who are in authority. Am I right? We have someone in authority now. This is the VC of the university. He's facing all kinds of things. At the same time, to get the job done. He has things planned to get done for the university with all good intention. I'd like you to rise up on your feet. Stretch forth your hands toward him and say, Lord, help him to be focused. Help him to be fruitful. Ask those two things for him. Help him to be focused and help him to be fruitful. He's our brother. He's our minister. He's blessed us. He's busy, he's going forth to and fro. He's taking care of things coming from him from every direction. Say, Lord, we pray for focus for him. I want you to come against distractions, unnecessary distractions. Men that want to rise, cause trouble, like Sambalat and Tobias, let's say, they will not have their way and it will not affect him. Let's ask for emotional resilience for him. To be able to stand and shake them off and to go on with God day by day to be fruitful. Ask him to keep his house too, to keep his life running. pray that he will be able to handle his life and prosper too. He's talked to us about prosperity. The Lord will help him to prosper. He will not live his life out and family out. The Lord will encourage him on every side. And let's pray for his team, that they will be strengthened and they will go further and they will be fruitful and focused. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's give thanks to him, to God for him one more time. Let's appreciate God. Let's thank him. Hallelujah. Lord, please, the reason why I ask you to come, I want to give you a word. Psalm 27 from verse 1 to 4. Just dwell on it and then to just encourage you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Have your seat. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just love this service today. Just cool, calm. I've already gotten questions coming in. Today's question and answer. Like I said, we want to just take some time. I hope this my mic is on so I can take my seat. Okay. Thank you. I hope it sounds better. Have permission to leave. So marriage does not mean that she cannot be a person anymore. So let her leave. And if you are not here, I'm sending you a word by the Spirit, wherever you are on this planet, that please relax. Relax. I was tough for my wife. Clap for her. I was tough. My wife is a kind of a bubbly person that she'll be dancing by herself. Close here. I don't look for her. You know, like now, I hardly sing. If I'm listening to music, I enjoy it inside of myself. My wife is singing along. I'm music me. You know, that kind of a thing. But I'm losing up now, so I let her leave. She go out, she talks with her friend on the phone, she gist with them. And I'm learning to be nice. So now she say, dear, you want to say hello to her? I'm not saying any hello. So please let your partner be. Let your partner be. But please also the lady, don't encroach on your husband. It can be very tough. You know, you've been in the room together, you are forced to stay in the same room together, and you are busy talking on the phone. You're laughing. The guy wants to just have some quiet. Some of us really want quiet. Really want quiet. Not just that kind of. So I don't want to hear anything. For instance, when I want to sleep at night, if the door crack open, I will wake up. How many of you know that? Some of us, we sleep and we are not sleeping and we are sleeping. Anybody like me like that? You know, I'm sleeping, but I'm not sleeping. But I know I'm sleeping. Some of us, when we sleep, we have to pour water on your head to wake up. Thank you for your gift. So, I will say this. I pray for your husband and just enjoy life. Huh? Don't let him just, you know that's your husband, so just pray for him and do that. How do we help people who have in time past been hurt by the church and are sensitive to any reaction they get from people in the church? Let's pray for them. That's it. Look here, you get hot anywhere. Let's be honest here. Anybody here perfect? Nobody. So you get hot. Sometimes pastors will hurt you. I got a couple visiting me after service about 3 weeks ago. They've gone through a whole lot. The husband was very, I call him a gentleman of God. So when they came to see me, they've gone through this microphone. It's just a substitute, but it's not working the way I want it to work. So let's. I really want my hands to be free. Sometimes when you carry this thing so much, you go back home, your hands start feeling funny. Yeah. So, where does that stop now? Hot. You get hot. Your husband will hurt you. Your wife will hurt you. Your children will hurt you. So you better get hot ready and hot free. So I will say this, that if you are going to spend your time thinking about what it would do to you, you're not going to live your life at all. Are you hearing me? Tell your neighbor, shake it off. But pastor, it was a pastor that really messed up my life. But Jesus came to give you life. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Just know that. Just know that. They sold Joseph, his own brothers. Am I right? Did he stop him? Yeah, he did. He left home. And then Potiphar's wife. They call it in Yoruba. Babambari. Huh? What will you do? Just leave. Just keep on living. You know, people will do things. People that are even well-meaning, they will hurt you. I've hurt my wife several times too. But I learned one thing. Keep on doing good. Even when you hurt people, keep on doing them good. And you know what I told that couple that when they came to see me? I said, that pastor who hurt you, send him some money. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Is that all right? Pastor, how can you say that? How can you say that? Because of the love of God. Because of Jesus. Listen, what they have done against you is not compared with what you have done against God. So let's just relax. I said this before, my 30th birthday of my wife, I hurt her badly. As he said, dear, when I was 30, you did this to me. But when she was 40, I did better. I did party, we did party, we dance to cover up. By the way, if anybody tells you that you hurt them over here, please don't argue with them. Don't start giving excuse. Because when you hurt me, you don't feel it. For instance, now if I step on your leg inside the taxi and my shoes are on you, I don't feel it, but you feel it. So people sometimes feel what you don't feel. Kini mo so fun e? Mo ni ko dide le, ile ti mo na. Awon egbe ti dide le. See, that word egbe, you don't know what it meant to them. You don't know what I said that to them before that made my life just miserable. But when they say, you just hurt me, don't start arguing. Kini mo so fun e? Just say, I'm sorry. Pastor, I can't say I'm sorry. Oh, ni pela yo. You must learn to say, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. You must learn to do that. I'm sorry. You can diffuse anything. I'm sorry. My wife, I'm sorry. My friend, I'm sorry. My husband, I'm sorry. My wife, no, just sorry. And do like this. Monique must say sorry, sir. That's even more tense. I'm sorry. Just, I'm sorry. Something happened recently in our house, you know. Something was small. I didn't know what I did, man. My wife, something I said to her, I don't know, you know. All of us from this area. The second morning, I got up and said, sorry about yesterday. Why? You must go on now. Is that all right? Tell your neighbor, you'll be hot again after today. So remember, relax and enjoy life. Is that all right?
Pastor, I don't like your cancer.
That's why they put shock absorber in the car. Particularly those ones coming to Nigeria. Shock absorber is there. You know that you're going to carry on. Praise God. Hallelujah. You see, as a pastor, I have to learn to do that too. Okay. Have I answered which one else? If you have a question, you can write them down too and send them. Okay, let's look at this one. Bible says we should cover our head when praying. You should cover your head. Bible didn't say that. But in this church, most people are not used to covering their head. Thank you. Let's go down there. You know, the Bible says, they don't know why the verse is in the Bible. Number one, let me help you. You cannot build a doctrine and enforce it on everybody that is not spoken twice in the Bible. I say, out of a matter of two or three, a matter be established. Is that all right? So, when it's only quoted one place, and it's not emphasized by the apostles and other, and Jesus himself, it's not really important. Wow. You are just saying? Now, this covering of the head is only one place in the Bible. So, it's not that important. There's no other corroborating verse to prove it. But, what is it really about? Chapter 11, 1 Corinthians. Let's look at it. Right, let's go. Verse 1. Imitate me, because I also imitate Christ. Next verse. I want you to start looking, we are reading the verses. Now, I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep what? Not the truth, but traditions. Every culture, every place have their traditions. Like now, this morning I tell you, when you finish worshiping God, I say, turn to your right and to your left and say, that's my tradition. But it's not a truth that you must obey by all means, by all force, everywhere we go. So just mark that and keep the traditions, deliver them to you. Tradition is something we practice, for instance, greeting. Greeting people is important, but we have different traditions for greeting Yoruba, like this. Am I right? Some other place, like this. Some other place, they rub their noses together. Are you hearing me? Like if a Yoruba man, I dobale, or Olarifin. But if a Igbo man, you don't dobale. Am I correct? Tradition here, respect, bro, sis, abroad, they call you by name, 75 years old.
Pastor, it's our culture.
Culture has gotten all mixed up together. Let's keep reading. Next verse. Now, let's follow now. But I want you to know that the head of every man is who? And the head of the woman is who? And the head of Christ is who? Now, this verse, let's read it better. When it says this, I want to know that the head of every husband is Christ. The head of the wife is the husband. And the head of Christ is God. So that verse doesn't say that every man is every woman's head. Excuse me. Are you married? Thank you. That's your head. Are you married to him? She has no control to head you. Are you hearing me? So the head of every woman, who is the man? The wife. The wife, the head of every wife is her husband. The head of the husband is Christ. So the man also has head over him. So don't marry a headless man. Let's keep reading. Are you here with me? Look at next verse. Every man praying or every husband praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors what? Okay. Anybody here with Iboru? Thank you. Stabiola. Is it big enough? Let me see. Okay. Can you tie it as a scarf around your head? Tie it quite well. Thank you. Thank you. Just try something. Come forward. I beg. This is not covering your head. This is covering your hair. We don't understand the Bible. That's not, so all those people are trying to say, they're not covering your head, you're only covering your hair. Sister Fumi, please stand up. See? That's covering your head, not your head. Now let's cover your head. Can you move back there? No. You do everything really. You see these people that are Muslim? That is really, this is covering your head. Thank you, you can sit down. That's what tradition in the Middle East, where Paul wrote this book from. And that's why Muslims still do it around today. So this is covering of your head. This is not covering of air. Thank you, you can go to your seat. Now, when you see any woman in the Middle East, they cover their head because they are under their husband. You see, like their own wedding ring. Let's keep reading. But every wife, that's the best word, who prays, prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonors her head. Who's her head? So, it's nothing to do with God. It's like my wife praying and removed the wedding ring. Is it dishonoring prayer? Dishonoring me. Is that clear? Now, I know what's struggling in your head. Some of you are saying, no, that's not true. The tradition is with you, so keep it. But don't force it on me. I did a teaching recently on when Christians differ. You should go and listen to it. So, if you want to keep that, you cover your head. It's your husband that's actually responsible there. But sometimes, I don't want my wife to cover her head. I want to see her hair. So, if your husband likes you to do Badabi Amila, you know, go ahead. Is that all right?
But they must cover.
Is he your wife? Is he your husband? The tradition. It's simple. So you don't have to. Okay, let's talk about one. 1 Corinthians 16.
Pastor, it's in the Bible. We must keep the Bible.
Okay, let's do this one too. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 20. Let's take a look. I hope I'm correct. Let's see it. It's in the Bible, New Testament. I hope I'm correct. Let me find the verse. Okay, it's on the screen. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Now, this is not only once in the Bible, it's five or four times in the Bible. Romans 16, verse 20. Let's take a look at whether I'm correct. It's in Romans 2. Okay, let's see Romans 16. Let's find the verse. Let's find the verse. Talking about kissing too. Kissing. Okay. Where is that verse? Can you find it for me? Can you help me read it out? Romans 16:16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Jesus Christ. Now, you have that covering of the head once. And we have kissing about three or four times. So for every covering one, you must kiss kissing four times. Okay, ladies, start kissing men over here in church. Go ahead right now. It's biblical. Olodola Bata. Why don't you keep that one? It's in the Bible. Mention five times. New Testament. It's not only what just one. Paul said it, other people said it too. So we should do that. So let's start kissing. I don't for this. What is like a booze and I won't measure. See? Why don't we keep that one? The covering is only once. It's a holy church. It's going to deeper life and start kissing. They are holy. Redeemed to all of us start kissing, or else they are not going to heaven. But we know that kissing is not about it. It's a form of greeting. That way was expressed then. And then we can see cancer today now and do like that. Right? You have some sense now? Thank you.
But Pastor, anytime I don't cover my head, I feel funny.
Cover your head. Is that alright? Please cover. My friend is calf. My fellow Wara. Cover your head. That's alright. Praise God. Is that okay? Okay, let's look at this one. I beat my son too much. The more I want to stop, the more I beat. Is there anything I can do? I understand you too. I understand you. I used to beat my children like that too. Just get angry. But the older I get, now I don't beat anybody anymore now. The last one really didn't get so much beaten. Oh, those earlier ones, they got beaten. Why? Because I'm growing. I'm getting better. So I will say this, though. Start trusting God and do something more that will help you. Start cultivating friendship with your children. That person that you're beating too much, take him out. Let's go for ice cream. Let's do something. Let's just play. Daddy, maybe I play with Emmanuel too much. Father Bale, Johnny, I'll get some ice cream. And then you start having some rapport and that starts decreasing. But honestly, beating is good for us. Beating is good for our children. They don't beat their children abroad. That's why they are spoiled. If you are going abroad, don't beat your children. You will report to the police. But you know some people, they take them to abroad. When they want to beat them, they come to Nigeria. Bible says foolishness is in the heart of a child. All of these people beat him out. So restrain yourself. Don't. Sometimes you need to just pray before you beat your child. You should beat your child. Now listen. I said this, many of you have remembered this. When I was very small, I was playing football outside my father's compound. And then this old woman was passing by. And I didn't I didn't kick the ball. No, I kicked the ball. Not to hit her, but the ball hit her. And then she took my ball. And then she started going in my ball. I begged. About almost a kilometer. That's what I feel about it. It may not be up to that. I begged. Finally, she gave me the ball. And I, yay, bye-bye. And then, sorry for saying that in church, but I have to say that to join what we're talking about. So I came back, and then she followed me home and told my dad. My dad just kept quiet till I was in the house, and he closed the door. Gracious goodness. Bam, 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 bam. I think I passed out, I came back. After that, till today, anybody I see, so sometimes beating is good for us, for your kids. Hallelujah. Professor Adi can tell us more about his father beating them. Hallelujah. Reverend, my husband keeps malice with me whenever he's angry. What can I do to make things better? Let me give you some things. Go and double cross him. You're like a cloud about to rain. Don't start singing like this. You cause more trouble. What a friend we have in Jesus. Don't sing that. That'll make it this worse. You know, I know my wife too, because this happens to everybody. Sometimes it just turns off like that. So in my younger days, you know what I do? I withdraw. I just withdraw to my own shell and say, Conco Tabele. Oh, you know, Pastor, how do you remember all these things? They just come to me. I don't cram them. So, suddenly, I learn to do this now. Oh, dear, good morning. So, you answer one kind. Then, hello, what are we going to eat? And start loosening up. We all are that. But, Pastor, why is he keeping malice? By reason of life and environment and upbringing. Some of us, we don't take this off quickly. Some of us, thank you, shake it off quickly. So what do we do? Learn to adapt to your husband. If he's like that, try and find out what does he like to do that day. Try and do it with him. Maybe get something. Maybe can I get some food for you for your work? So my dear, see. After a while, he'll get over it. If he's a child of God, God starts telling him, you are not behaving well. Is that all right? But please don't put fire to the kerosene. Any Christian. And then say, prayer partner agreement in social. And then you still do like this. They say, bitterness, don't lecture him. That lecture will put fuel there. Unlikely, I won't say the rest. It may come on forever. So, please, we all have our weaknesses. We all have our faults. Are we here, everybody? Thank you very much. So, learn to. I got some over here that is coming. Okay, thank you. Good. So, when it comes to all this, we all have our weaknesses. To be honest with you, we all have our weaknesses. But, see, I'll say this to you. As you grow, as you get older in the Lord, look, my preaching team are here. We have all been growing together all these years. I can see the niceness, the beautiful. We were all young those days. We were all young. And so, as you grow in grace, things will fall off you. Are you hearing me? Is that all right? So that's what I will say about that. Let's go to this next one quickly. Pastor, I am most times attracted to married women or married men. I don't know why. And the single ones that approach me, I can't marry because of faith differences. Do I have a problem? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. I mean, a married woman, you are feeling attracted to them. And then the single one, because of faith difference. So come to church and look around for faith one. Is that all right? Now, some of you don't believe this. When women get married, they look more attractive. I know the husband don't believe that. You know what I say? The woman don't believe that. You're at home now. You can see her now with her hair, all this kind of thing. You know. But when a woman gets married, that's a settleness that comes to them. That's a kind of a quietness. That's a balancing that you don't see with the singles. Amen. That's why on the day of wedding, women dance more than the men. The bride dance more than the bridegroom. You know why? Because we said to. Hallelujah. Is that all right? So now, for this person, that attractiveness is has to be controlled. Then look for your own. Is that all right? Say, Lord, I need a wife. Pray about it. Don't just be craving and asking. Look at James 4, verse 1. Let's go. James 4, let's read in NLT. Where do wars and fight? What is causing quarrels and fight among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? Next verse. You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others are, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't what? Ask God for it. You just ask God for it. Ask God for your own. That will be a blessing to you. Hallelujah. Now, let me be honest. Can we be honest for a few minutes? Every man feels attracted to a beautiful woman.
Pastor, does that include you?
Yes. When you see somebody really looking good, say, whoa, you're looking really good.
Pastor, I thought you were anointed.
I got eyes. Did you hear what Prof said last week? You are not around. God bless you. Alright? But what do we do? Just like when you are small, you carry a plate, it's very hot. And it's very hot, what do? You drop it, because it's hot. But when you are older, you know how much that plate costs you to buy it. When it's hot, what do? Put it on the table. You know, you have what you call self-control. So the same way, your body doesn't have conscience. Your body likes good thing. So what do? You control your body. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Look at what Paul said there. 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. That's just take that phrase alone. I discipline my body. I tell my body, don't go that way. Don't do that. Like sometimes, you know, for years in my life, I wake up in the morning, I'll feel this wave of, how to describe it is funny. Just like as if nothing matters. As if life is just, you know, I just feel terrible. And that builds in me a critical spirit or attitude. Then one day, it dawned on me that this feeling is not me. It's coming through my emotional, hormonal stuff. And I type pushing against it. I woke up this morning, that same feeling. I said, no, I'm not hopeless. I'm not just by myself. I'm a child of God. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of heaven and earth. And I started receding. So you must learn to let facts rule over your feelings. The fact of your faith. Is that all right? So if you're feeling that kind of attraction, just take care of it. Say, no, I'm not doing that. She's married on my own. Why? Because that's wrong. Okay, let's look at next one quickly. This one says, how does a woman continue to live with and be intimate with a chronic cheater? Cheating Christian husband. You know, as a pastor today, I have faced all kinds of things. This is my, how many years now? We've been together now. It's 1996. That's how many years now? 20-something years. I've had all kinds of things facing. I would have been here to do anatomy of adultery. I was a teaching I did years ago like that. But it's getting more prevalent more today. But my trouble today is that sometimes there are two types of cheaters. There is the cheat who is forced by life condition to do it. Condition of home or condition of his own being. That either he's not satisfied at home, so he get to cheat. Or it's just that's where he was raised up. He had to now unraise himself up like that. It's been among cheaters, learn to be cheating. If a family, they cheat. So he had to come against that old upbringing. But there's another cheating that is just cheating by deliberate thing. I'm just going to do it. I don't care who talks about that. Now, the first one can be helped, but the second one can be helped. Because the feel is that. And that can happen to a man or a woman. Both sides. I've seen that over the years. Now, somebody said, what do I have to do? In my younger days, I'll tell you, you qualify to break up. Thank you. You qualify to break up. You qualify to break up because, I mean, the Bible says that it must, if for fornication, you can divorce. But I have a problem. If the man is bringing all the resources home, and number two, they have 3 or 4 kids, what are you going to do about that? That's what I face today. And so, I can tell your husband, not to come to church anymore. If it's that guy's in church, chronic cheater, then don't come to church anymore. And then you, that is the wife, start feeling funny about me, that has to not come to church anymore. Women are very strange. And then, after a while, she start coming here. And then, go to the husband's church. And one day, I'll be out with my car, and she'll be with her husband in their car. And we pass each other, she'll look away from me. Because I'm the cause of their trouble. See me, you see trouble. So, things like this, they become more difficult because women actually don't want to give up their husbands. So when you say it's a point to say that you can go and divorce, it's more messier than that. So all I can tell you to do in this moment, in this issue, is to say, Lord, I am not cheating. He is cheating. Give me justice. Give me justice. And the justice of God could actually start confronting him with the issue, or it can eliminate him. Are you hearing me? Because there is adakedajo. One of my things that I've seen as a pastor is God's judgment. We don't say it a lot in church. Look at Hebrews 13 verse 4. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. I remember years ago, I got a pastor who was from my village. He was minister in Ivory Coast, come to Nigeria. And he was teaching on marriage, family seminar. So one day he just came and said, he's letting his wife go. That's very embarrassing. If you're just a pastor, that's okay. But pastor in marriage and family seminar, let his wife go. And they started having problems. And then some months later, he just died. He just died. I've seen that happen over the years. God judges you. So, a lot of time right now, I just leave God to judge. I can't do anything about it. Because they will attack me, but you can't attack God. God will deal with the matter. Is that all right? So, that's what I would say about that. But, oh boy, I've seen things, man. I know one woman that she was my convert years ago. Her husband was born by adultery. They call his name Olaore Orelumuwa. He's a professional cheater. He lives his life like that. The woman had to be using a lot of antibiotics several times. And she met God, she walked with God, she left the house, she moved out of his house. It was a big woman, I said, she was a manager in PZ. And she kept on living his life, her life. And then finally, years later, the man died. She moved back to the house. But it was not easy for her. These are not easy things to deal with. It's difficult. Children are involved. They grow up to know that. It can be difficult. But we have grace to cope. Is that all right? So I'm not minimizing this at all. Please, don't get me wrong. The Bible tells us that these things can only come to pass through fasting and prayer. Are we supposed to fast just to make requests or to build up ourselves in the spirit? What's the sole purpose of fasting? Okay, you see, people quote verses in the Bible. Let's go and read it. Matthew 17. Hallelujah. Oh, we have to stop now. Our time is up. And you still have your question there. Thank you for bringing your question. Matthew 17. Are you there? Okay. I'm going to read a verse there. verse 20. Okay, let's look at the case first. Let's look at the case. Verse 14. Let's go. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often to the water. And then he came to Jesus. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. What did Jesus say? Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Next verse. Let's keep reading. Jesus rebuked the demon. It came out of him. The child was cured from that very hour. Now follow now. Next verse. And the disciples came to Jesus privately. Those were his disciples that were part of his ministry. They were serving the people. They were also co-ministers with Jesus. And said, why could we not cast it out? Let's look at Jesus' answer. What did he say? Can we together, everybody? Let's go. So just said to them, because of your unbelief, for as surely I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing, now see that, and nothing will be impossible for you. Now look at next verse. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, can you look up everybody over here? What this kind? Epileptic kind, right? Now, but what we usually do is to take Bible truth and turn it to everything else. He said this kind. Now, why do you think that your own is that? Now, so you don't understand. This is where Nigerians are messing up this area. Ministers have what they call anointing. What does it? They have an anointing to minister. Like to teach, an anointing. To preach, an anointing. To minister to people healing sickness, an anointing. Now, that's an anointing we have. Now, listen very carefully. This is why we get confused. Now, a minister, that anointing can either be strong or weak. Is that okay? Now, one of the ways you make the anointing to be stronger on you is by praying and fasting. In fact, Christ told somebody, when you feel the anointing going down on you, pray and fast. Now, they just pray, and then fast. Then the anointing will increase more. Now, that's for the anointing, not for living Christian life. That's not for faith. Now, listen very carefully here. Now, today in Nigeria, they want to make all of you like pastors and ministers. So they said, you must all fast, but you are not anointed to preach. Anointed to pray. That's not sure. You are not a minister. So churches want to make everybody a minister. That's wrong. Are you hearing me? See, we don't understand the Bible, so we just take it. We say, I fast for 40 days. For what? See, as a minister, you can fast. Because you want to enhance the anointing. Now, secondly, there is fasting and praying and giving as Christian practices. Let's go. Matthew 6. Look at verse 1. Our time is running. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by men. Now, listen, everybody. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Next verse. Therefore, when you do charitable deed or gift given to the poor, don't sign a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the street, that they may have glory for men. Surely, say to you, they have their reward. Next verse. But when you do a charitable deed to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Next verse. Let's read together, everybody. That your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly. So, one of the greatest practices you do as a Christian is to be a giving person to the poor. In fact, Islam learned that from Christianity. They call it zakah. But now, Christians have forgotten it. It's called zakah or or righteousness. Now, look at verse 4. So, verse 5, sorry. Now, that is in the area of giving. Then, and when you what? Look at verse 4. Go back to verse 4. Verse 3. See, when you do Now, verse 5. And when you pray, so there is also the practice of a Christian who gives, and second, who pray as a way to pray. All right? I think that one in the third service today. Now, see that. Now, verse 16. Verse 16. Moreover, when you what? When you fast. Don't be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. So I say to you, they have their reward. Next verse. So, but you, when you fast, do what? Anoint your head and wash your face and what? So that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father. See, there's something about all those three things I just mentioned. Your Father will reward you openly. Remember that? When you give, your Father will reward you openly. You do it in secret. When you pray in secret. Openly. When you fast in secret. Everybody here should have time of fasting that's not controlled by the church. That should be private. You know what I said? Just like your praying is private, like your giving is private, your fasting is also private. When I say fasting, private fasting, doesn't mean that you go for 15, 25 days and look like a stick when you die. But just like you schedule your praying and schedule your giving, not taking over your whole life, same way you can escape. You can say, you see, in the early church, they fast on Wednesday and Friday. Part of their lifestyle. You know, church was not like this in the earlier days. We don't fast, now we start copying Muslims and do 40 days, 80 days, or copying Muslims. That's what we are doing. So each person over here should have time to be with the Lord. It's a private thing that you fast, you pray, you give. Just for your own spiritual growth and development. Are you hearing me, somebody here? So you can live ready. See praying, fasting, and giving all going together as one piece. Pastor, how can I fast? You can miss a meal. You can miss two meals. Are you hearing me? You can miss a whole day. Depending on who you are, work with that. But try and put that into your life schedule. Or let's say like this, better. Don't eat all you want. Don't eat all you want. They call it fasted life. Don't eat all you want. It should be part of our life. My time is really up. Part of our lives. To do that. Schedule that into your system. Maybe Tuesday, maybe you are freer. I'm just going to fast today. As in life, I'm not going to eat today. I'm just going to pray. Or weekend or whatever. And then you can say, organize your praying, organize your giving. These three practices, they are what we call godliness. And then you can see God there. You don't have to wait for church to announce that. I don't like where everything is church-based. As a Christian, you should be living, working with God steadily and come to church and be added to. I don't have to declare 40 days of fasting to fulfill my destiny. I don't have to. I should be living regularly, living with the Lord, in praying, in giving, first in giving, in praying, and in fasting. Look at Acts 10 verse 1. I round up on that. There's so much to answer. Should we continue? Okay. Certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion, was called Italian regiment. Look at next verse. A devout man, or godly man, who feared God with all his household, not a church member, before he became a church member, and who gave alms. They put that on first. To the people, generously, and prayed to God always. Next verse. And about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision. Later he said he was fasting till about 3 p.m. That's ninth hour. Now he was doing that. Look at next verse. I love this. And when he observed him, he afraid, he interpreted him and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, can I hear your voice? Can I hear your voice? Your prayers and your arms have come up for a memorial before God. He didn't say your church. That's why I don't do a lot of things in church. You should be living your life well. All I can do is to be like a coach and encourage you to live life well. Not just dominate over your life, tell you to do this, do that, and do this, and do this. Hallelujah. Are we here? I'm making some sense this morning. Is that clear? So tell your neighbor, pray, no, giving, praying and fasting should be part and parcel of our lives. I tell him again, giving, praying, and fasting should be part and parcel of your life. I say this to yourself. Giving and praying and fasting should be part and parcel of my life. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I can't teach about the benefit of fasting today, but go home, read Isaiah 58. He's saying that actually when you are fasting, the food you don't eat, you should give out to others. Bam. I don't have time for that today. Maybe another day we'll talk about that. Okay, beautiful. Let's start rounding up. Our time is gone. Choir, are you singing today? Are you singing a question for answer? Okay, good morning, sir. Can you please tell us more about rapture? Obviously, we are in the end times. And there are so many signs, just like we understand from the Bible. See, this is the problem. Everybody thinks that rapture will occur their own time. Everybody thinks that we are in the end time. Are you hearing me? Huh? Are you hearing me? But let me surprise you. The end time began on the day of Pentecost. Pastor, it was about 2,000 years ago. By the way, the Bible says God said this. 1,000 years with God is like one day. And one day with God, like 1,000 years. So Christ died 2 days ago. So ask your neighbor, are we in the end time? There was a particular church in Nigeria, I won't mention their name. They were so overcome about the end time and Christ is coming back. They started telling, oh, it's coming in 5 months. And they told their members to sell. That was in the 1950s. They told their members to sell all their houses and sell their fridges. And they went to a particular spot to go and wait for Christ to come. Their children are still alive. If I mention the name of the church, you won't believe that. How many of you know Seventh-day Adventists? SDA. Babcock. Their founder in 1875 said Jesus Christ is coming back in 1875. He's coming. He gave the date. And then 80. Can you imagine 80? And then he gave the day. And the day came. And nobody got off the floor. So somebody came behind. Very famous Bible teacher, Ellen G. White. You know Ellen G. White? Now came and said that actually Jesus moved from the most holy place to the holy place in the heavenly places on that day. Irora bata. Just to escape the matter. So we know one thing. He said, I'm coming. I'm coming. And he will come. So get ready by living your life every day. And he said, occupy till I come. Tell your neighbor, live and overcome life every day. That's how to be ready for the coming of Jesus. So what is rapture? Rapture is that when he comes, we'll go meet him. It's as simple as that.
What about who will go or not who will go? Are you planning to stay behind?
Okay. One of these days, I'll teach more about it. But it's very easy to just know. Let's go to our Bible. Chapter 4, Thessalonians, first one. Let's just read it. Then I'll take one or two more and close. Praise God. Oh, so many questions. Let's go. Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. But I do not want to be ignorant, brethren. Can those who are dead, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. People have died. They have gone to heaven. Christ is yet to come. Look at next verse. It says this. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Are you following? So those who are even dead, when Christ comes again, we'll come with them so we can join them too. Next verse, quickly. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. This is very true. That we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died. Now listen, he said we who are alive. Who was saying that? Who said that how many years ago? So Paul was expecting it can happen at any time. And it didn't happen yet. But we are not discouraged because it's coming. Look at next verse. And he said, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. You come back. With the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first with new bodies. They will have new bodies. Next verse. And then we who are alive remain shall be what? See, that word caught up is the word raptured in the original. So I'll be raptured together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And thus, we shall always be with the Lord. Tell the neighbor, he's coming back. And we're going to join him and forever be with the Lord. And escape from Tinubu and Joe Biden. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So look at next verse. Therefore, comfort one another. He didn't say torment one another with this word. When I was growing up, he said, Jesus is coming back. To buy any lejo. To buy any cinema house. What do you say? So one boy will go to cinema house. He will buy the lunch. Please don't come here till I finish. Don't come here till I finish. They scared us those days. Are you blessed? Boy, that's so much. My. Let's take one more. Minimum restitution. Do I have to go and confess my sins to who has told his things and he told over 20 years ago? Murasi. Let me make you laugh. It happened in Lut. Really, this happened in Lut. Restitution. It happened in Lut. And this lady or this guy stole typewriter from the university, from the loose that time. So after he got saved, he says, go and return it. So he returned it and they didn't take it lightly. You know what they did? They took him out, put it on his head, go all over the campus. Ole niye ole. Ole niye ole. I think the guy backslid. I'll tell you one more sad case. There was this sister, she's dead now, she used to be in our church. Her father and her mother, they had 5 kids. And the father went to this church where they must restitute. Because that mother was not the first wife. So he said, must restitute. And kicked her out of the house with 5 children. How will she live? She lost her mind. She wound up in psychiatric hospital. The children just went berserk. One of them came to our church. We started putting their life together. Finally, about 3 of them came to church. One of them died. That's the problem. Now listen to me, everybody. When you read your Bible, look for the principle and look for the practice. Can you remember anybody in the Bible who restitutes? Is there anyone who carried the book? Even Paul that killed somebody, how do you restitute that? The King Stephen. But let me show you one person who did. Can we see that before we close? The last one. Luke 19 verse 1. Let's round up. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. What happened next? Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Let's keep reading. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. That's short and rich. Like IBB. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. That's why he was rich. He will look at where the crowd is going, go before them and buy all the land. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus. Now wait. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must what? Look at next verse that caused trouble. So he made haste and came down and received him how? Joyfully. Next verse. But when the crowd saw it, they all complained about Jesus, saying he's going to be a guest with a man who's a sinner. So we got a problem over here. The guy has done bad things, and Christ never said, clean up your life, then I'll come in. But he came in first. Clap your hands for Jesus. He said, I must stay. Didn't he know him? He knew who he was. He was a crook. He was a sinner. People may know you as a sinner, but Christ is your cleanser. And will come to your life. A woman who had had 5 husbands before, Christ became her guest at the well and sent her out as an evangelist. Tell your neighbor, your sin cannot threaten Jesus. Is God the cure? Come on, clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. Now, let's see something here, and I close with this. What is biblical execution? Let me close. See, when they said that to Jesus, Jesus didn't say anything. He said, going to be with a sinner. Jesus entered the house, sat down with the guy, want to eat there. Look at next verse. And then Zacchaeus, not Jesus, telling him, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. I close like this. You can restitute what is in your heart. And you know that you should do it. Nobody's forcing you. You must just go back and tell that person something has been wrong and your conscience will be free. The Lord didn't tell him. The Lord said, I mean, stand in your house tonight. But because men began to accuse him, I believe that if you are here today and you got somebody pregnated and is somewhere with a kid and you denounced it years ago and the baby is there and that is bugging your spirit and it's bugging your heart, you should bring it up and pray about it and say, Lord, I must see that that child knows his father because he's alive somewhere. And then, Pastor, my family income, tell your wife and your... Now, if it's not bothering you, leave it alone, no. But if it's bugging your heart, you can't sleep, you dream, you see the boy. You wake up, you see the boy. Like Zacchaeus. You now get up and say, my wife, this has happened years ago. If you want to divorce me, I know I'm wrong. But this baby is outside. I know it's trouble, but I must just do something about it. And if your wife wants to divorce you, come and meet me. I will be your diplomat to talk to her. You already have three. I dealt with all kinds of cases. Recently, I dealt with a case where a man had three children outside. Now a pastor. Everybody went berserk. We said two dates. And I said, look here, those three kids, we can't forget them. You better go to business and make more money so we can feed them. And never let them criticize God because they didn't have a father who was lying. My brother and my sister, life is too complicated. There's so many things going on in life that only the grace of God can help us. As a pastor, I'm on your side. I will help you. I will strengthen you. If you have to restitute and it's a difficult thing, come and call me. I'll follow you there. I pay me in dollars. I don't want naira. Naira is flying away now. Are you blessed today?
Yes,
clap your hands for Jesus. Choir, let's sing. Give our offering. Let me close like this. Something Prof said. He said, it's just only the mercy of God. We didn't... Some of you are only God help you. You have had three kids outside with all those girls you have been running around with now. Oh, no, let's give God all the glory anyway. Let's give our offering. Father, we thank you. We bring our offering and our tithe to you this morning. We thank you for your grace and your loving kindness and tender mercies. Can we help us reduce the volume there? But just before we sing, everybody just stop. Just stop. Everybody just stop. Everybody just stop. Please, everybody stop. Just a minute. Can you reduce that thing that's making noise? Please, let me reduce it. I just sense we should pray right now. Please forgive me for breaking into the service right now. I just sense I should pray now. People who are having struggle in the home. Something God told me yesterday. God said, some of the troubles you have in your life is not because I hate you. It's because I want you to grow in it. Are you hearing me? We are going to ask God, say, God, help us grow in the midst of this difficulty. Help us grow and multiply in this affliction. Can we pray together? Prof, please come over. Please come over. Let's just pray over the people. Come, Prof, let's just pray over them. Let's stretch out our hands over them. Some of us have a lot of complications in our life that you are wondering, God, how do I, what? Let's just stretch out our hands and just pray over them. See, Father, we pray for your mercy. We pray for your grace. We pray for your kindness. We ask that your people be spared of all the hassles, emotional hassles, financial issues that come from complications in marriage, in household. Father, we pray over your people for mercy and comfort. You said you comfort us in all our tribulations. Father, we pray for your encouragement. We pray for your cheering up of their heart, that they will not give up and give in this season. We pray that they will know what to do. They will be strengthened. They will even smile in the midst of all these dark things. Lord, help us. Help us this woman. Help this woman. Help this man that have challenges on every side in their home, parenting, family life, relational. Help, above all, help them on the inside to develop fortitude, to develop strength, to carry on, to go on in spite of all the abnormalities. And Father, let everything be turned for your glory. You did it for Joseph. You did it for David. Turn it for your glory. Can you pray for somebody and say, Father, turn it in my life to your glory. Can you pray with me together? Say, Lord, whatever I'm going through now, turn it out for your glory. Turn it out for your glory. There was a death in the house of Martha and Mary. Lazarus died. And Jesus said, this is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Turn this to your glory. Can we pray together, everybody? Lift up your hands and say, Father, whatever is going on in my life, in my home, in my marriage, turn this for your glory. Let your glory shine through it. Let your glory shine through it. Magnify your name. Let me see your glory. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Let's give our offering. Choir can sing. Thank you.
When 10,000 arrows take flight, remind me that you are my armor. There's always a place I can hide when I am desperate for shelter. You're my covering. I'm safe. I'm safe. Whatever comes at me, I'm safe. I'm safe. You got me
under your wings. I'm under your wings.
Ooh, you got me. Got me.
I'm under your wings.
In every step that I take, you are before and beyond me. With every fear that I face, I'm constantly finding you're my covering.
For Jesus. Come on. That's the answer to all our questions. Right? Whatever comes at me, I'm safe. Praise God, somebody. My husband, my wife, my family, my life, my job, my career. You got me covered. Praise God, somebody. Tell yourself, I'm covered. Come on, louder. I'm covered. I'm covered. I'm under his wings. Lift your hand. Let's thank him for God sorting us out in whatever form, shape, or manner of trial, affliction we are in. We are under his wings. And we are safe after all. We are safe after all. Yes, it may look as if it's painful, it's hard, it's tough, but we are safe after all. Praise God in the highest. Come on, clap your hands. Shout unto God, somebody. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, choir. Thank you one more time. God bless you. Let's clap for them one more time. Thank you. Now, you got a program Saturday. Whatever who you are, attend it. It will help you. Whether you're in business, whether you're career, whether you look for more money, how to invest, what to do, not to lose your money. It's over there, Money and I. And they have a drama. Quickly, I give them 2.5 minutes. They want 4 minutes, but I give them 2.5 minutes. When 2.5 minutes is over, I'll stop them. They get the gist. Are we ready for the drama? For that Saturday. See, Money and I, developing skills that can help you win the marketplace, starting capital for your business, investment opportunities, side hustle you can do, digital money, how not to lose your money, and if you are underemployed, how to get a better job. Praise God. Okay, quickly. Thank you. Okay, you have some microphone there.
Hello? Alright, Kilo and Shelley, I'm tired, Jerry. I've been talking about this business since. I'm just tired. I don't have a 20 million out with Japa. Loan halves are calling me. I'm tired. I've done like 4 or 5 businesses and everything is just failing. Where else me, Jerry? See, hold on. I think I have a call. Oh, see, I was just telling you about loan app now. One of them just called me. I don't know what to do. I'm tired. I've sold my car. Eh? So that I can pay my children's school fees. What do you want me to do? All those quotes, everything is not just working. Dollar is rising, 1,000 naira. Eh? Everybody is jackpying. I wish I have 20 million to jackpot. But I want to jackpot. No, Ebola and Jalo. Ah, cashless. Well, subsidy. Now, in my local, what you combo one thing, right? Eh? What do I do? Ah, God. What's in you? Oh, ah, what's in you?
Daddy Junior. The meaning of all this.
What
this
now?
Is not your picture.
Kilo Shelesi.
Loan app. Which loan again? Which loan again? All the ones you've been collecting in times past. I've been the one paying. Why are you doing this to me? Can you imagine? I went to the hospital yesterday. The doctor said my BP is high. All because of all these things you are causing. Why do you keep causing trouble in the house? The only thing you know is to sit down there. You do nothing. Just to sit down. It is time for us to pay the children's school fees. And you are doing nothing. All you just do is to sit down, amass debt, and complain. I can't imagine you doing all these things to me. Why? Why are you doing this? Why?
Eh, kunye pami. Ibadan yang paru, emilokon kakiri. Sheko tikon wabai. Eh, level 14 officer, what are you doing? Are you helping me? Eh? What are you doing? I'm sitting down. 5 businesses. I shut down the farm so I can feed the family. I sold my car so you can pay house rent. Kuku kill me, make her they go. I beg. I tire Jerry.
What am I doing? Can you imagine this man? What am I doing? All the loans you have been collecting, all the apps, everything, even the bank loan, I've been the one that has been paying from my salary. What am I doing? Are you not the head of the home? Can't you do something now? Oh, Pastor, welcome, sir.
What's happening here? What's the ranting about?
Ask him more.
Oh, Pastor, we are just tired, Nijari.
You know, I've been standing by the door and I've been hearing, you know what you guys need at this time? You need practical wisdom and innovative knowledge to bring you out of this financial mess that you're in.
So,
you know, the Bible says in Hosea chapter 4, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And scriptures also says that through wisdom, a house is built, business or career. The Bible also says that when people are saying there's a casting down, we should say there's a lifting up. But key to this, to experience this, is knowledge. Well, as for me, I'll be attending a business seminar organized by Deacon Stevens Group, a business seminar on innovative ways to make money at this time.
But Pastor, wait, business seminar. We've read books. There was one, Think and Grow Rich, or what is that, or the Rich Dad Poor Dad. We've read everything. It's not applicable in this business world. Is there subsidy in U.S.? No, now.
We are talking about practical wisdom. Practical, and facilitators that will be coming, experienced facilitators, especially a member of one of the top five fintech in the country, and other renowned and experienced facilitators. We are going to be talking about topics on side issues, hustles to complement your salary, and other interesting topics. Act for this time. So, okay. Daddy Junior, Mommy Junior, you have to be there this coming Saturday.
We will try. But we will try.
So, needless of all this fight and all this thing, it's okay. Please, when you come, come with other people that needs to hear. God bless you.
Okay, praise God. Don't just clap. Don't clap for them. Attend. No knowledge is lost. And we need wisdom, practical wisdom. And I think that same drama applies to the ELN program coming up on the 2nd of October. Ladies, come and learn how to manage your life and affairs. For us to prevent fights and counseling, timeless counseling. Come and learn how to manage your lives and manage your affairs. That's coming up on the 2nd of October. That's on Monday. Meanwhile, on 1st, we have joint service. That's next Sunday. We have just one service, joint service that will start by 9 a.m. You're welcome. That will start by 9 a.m. and there'll be eating and drinking. That same day, our senior pastor will be marking his 61st birthday. Hallelujah. So let's come celebrate with ourselves, enjoy ourselves, and celebrate our man of God. Praise God. After this service, we have some food stuff available if you have need of it. Rice, beans, garri, and all of that from Excellent Ladies Network. Please, if you have need of it, you by the gates, by the security gates, you can avail yourself. This coming Friday, by the grace of God, we'll be having 1 hour praise session. And this Friday is going to be praise and communion. Praise and communion, 6 to 7 p.m. on Friday. Praise God. Let's rise to our feet. We are going home. We have really overspent our time, but we have two babies to dedicate, and we're just going to rejoice with these two families, Mr. and Mrs. Emmanuel Oluwasoyin and Mr. and Mrs. Ogunbayo. They have brought Grace Oluwa Soyin and Temi Loluwa Ogunbayo for dedication. So please, let's join them to rejoice as we pray over these babies. Are you ready?
Come and see the Lord is good. Come and see the Lord is good. There is nothing it cannot do. Come and see the Lord is good. Come and see the Lord is good. Everybody see it. There is nothing. There is nothing it cannot do. Come and see the Lord. Come and see the Lord. Everybody sing. There is nothing.
Please move forward. Move forward.
He
Jesus victory. He gave us peace of mind, oh, and there is nothing he cannot do. Come and see the Lord is good. I have seen the Lord. Come and hear the testimony.
I see the Lord is good.
There is nothing, there is nothing they cannot do.
Come and see the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Where is grace? Grace. Which one is grace? Okay, this is grace. And this is Temiloluwa. Can we just stretch forth our hands and just bless these babies? Let's declare the blessing of God. Let's welcome them. They are good gifts to these families, to this church, to our community, to our nation. We declare over you, babies, that you grow in wisdom. You grow in stature, in favor with God and with men. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Bible says the seed of the righteous shall be mighty in the land. We receive that concerning you. We welcome you into the covenant that we have with Jehovah. And this covenant will work for you. You will know the Lord. You will grow in the word of the God. You will grow to love God. You will grow to serve God. You will grow to follow God all the days of your lives in the name of Jesus. Concerning you, we rebuke sickness and disease. Every childhood disease will rebuke concerning you. Your cells, your organ, your system, they will function maximally in the name of Jesus. You are a blessing to your family and you remain a blessing in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless you. We give you praise. We welcome this into this covenant of life. And we say they will live. They will grow. They will develop. They are a blessing. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, dear Father. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I said praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Look at your neighbor. I say neighbor, 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 neighbor. So many opportunities this coming weekend. Don't miss it. Saturday, Sunday, Monday. God has so much in store for us. For everybody, both singles and married, and for Monday, for the Monday program on the 2nd, for all the singles, for the married, please don't miss it. Don't miss it. God is going to bless us. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, surely God's goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Before you go, if this today is your first time in Rock Foundation Church, can you just lift up your hand? We have some special gifts for you. We have some special gifts for you. Something to cool you down. Some recharge cards, some books. Just lift up your hands where you are. If today is your first time, you are welcome. You are welcome. You are welcome. God bless you. Somebody is coming around you. Just follow that person. Just follow that person. You are welcome. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. See you on Tuesday.